Repeat after me. This is my Bible.
I am what it says I am.
I will have what it says I will have.
I'm a part of Deliverance Temple,
where we live our vision every day.
Our vision
can be seen
in these four ways.
We connect with our Creator continually.
We confess our deliverance consistently.
We commit to serve creatively.
We communicate Christ's love compassionately.
Pastor Andre, feed me this word.
Come on, now let's put your hands together.
All right, let's bow our heads. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, I'm praying that you would hide me beneath the cross, that you would speak through my vocal cords, think through my mind. God, let it be all of you and less of me, and let the people be eternally touched and blessed, and let no one's coming be in vain. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're going to talk about the sevenfold spirit. And when we talk about that, we just finished a series called Rain. And we went through Can You Stand the Rain 1 and Can You Stand the Rain 2, and then Frequency, and then the Sound of Abundance. And much of that was talking about the heaven open up over our lives and the Spirit of God being poured out in a way, not just blessing, but actually the presence of God, the Spirit of God in our lives. But when you think about that, what is the Spirit? And there's some things that we know about the Spirit. We know that the fruit of the Spirit, there's nine fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith. Against such there is no law. And then there's also nine gifts of the Spirit, and it deals with the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, healings, and miracles, and all those kinds of things. But there's a little known thing about the Spirit that's hidden in a prophecy in Isaiah, and I want to talk about that because it covers a sevenfold function of the Spirit. Once the Spirit comes on you, it covers six different other manifestations. So we want to break that down and give you what you should be looking for. It's one thing to be saved. It's one thing to go to a church. It's another thing to be walking in line with the Spirit of God. And we want the Spirit of God to be here. So what we're going to do, we're going to look at Isaiah 11 and 1. And Sister Mitchell, would you begin to read there?
And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots.
Remember that Isaiah wrote thousands of years before Jesus, and Isaiah is called a major prophet instead of a minor prophet. Major prophets, they had more prophecy about Jesus than the Messiah. Their books were bigger. The minor prophets, they prophesied about Jesus as well, but their books are smaller. And so one thing that we see, it says, there's going to come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. We know that Jesus come out of the line of David and Jesse, but they were talking about the Messiah and prophesying ahead of time. And because we look at it and we see it in the scripture, oftentimes it doesn't seem that spectacular to us because we know the Bible is talking about Jesus. But you have to remember, Jesus had not shown up. They were just prophesying about the Messiah and had it down to a T. There's over 300 different prophetic utterances about Jesus that he fulfilled every one of them when he came. And this is just one of them. Let's look at the next verse. And this is where we're going to park and we're going to teach from. Verse 2.
And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him.
Number one, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him.
The Spirit of wisdom.
That's number two.
And understanding.
That's number three.
The Spirit of counsel.
That's number four.
And might.
That's number five.
The Spirit of knowledge.
That's six.
And of the fear of the Lord.
That's seven. So when the Spirit of God rests upon Jesus, there are six manifestations that came out of that Spirit, but the first thing that had to happen is the Spirit of God had to come on him. So we're going to break these down and go one by one in all seven, and we're going to talk about the sevenfold Spirit. Number one, the Spirit of the Lord. So if you notice in the scripture, the Spirit is capitalized, but in the other verses, let's go back up to that verse, 11 and 2. We'll see that the Spirit oftentimes is not capitalized. So on the first, it says, and the Spirit of the Lord. In the King James, they don't capitalize the very first one. But in the other versions, they capitalize the very first Spirit. So go back to point number one. And then the rest of them are in the little S, which is Spirit. So what that means, we all have a human spirit. We are spirit, soul, and body. We are, I am Andre, the flesh that you see. I'm Andre, the soul that you cannot see. And then I'm Andre, the spirit. Well, the spirit of the Lord communicates with my spirit. And what it does, it funnels the power that's in the spirit to my spirit. There's some things you cannot do in your body and you cannot do in your soul. The only way you can do it is through your spirit, but your spirit has to be yielded to the spirit. But when you are connected to the spirit, there's some stuff that the spirit has that you get because of the connection. How can I explain this? Let me say this. Lady Devon, her maiden name is Brooks. And my name is Mitchell. Now, as a Mitchell, there was money in my bank account. But the moment that she put on the license and changed her name from Brooks to Mitchell, everything that belonged to me automatically belonged to her. Because she connected to my name. You have a spirit, and your spirit is broke without God. Your spirit is empty without God. But when you connect with the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of the living God, and when it rests on you, when it sits on you, when you commune with it, when you have intercourse with the spirit of the Lord, everything that's available to the spirit belongs to you. That's why we could sing victory. I got it. My body may not see victory. My soul may not see victory. But by the spirit that's inside of me and the spirit of the Lord, I declare victory. I declare prosperity even though my body may not see it. I declare healing even though my body may not see it. I declare joy even though my body may not see it, because it's in the spirit of the Lord. And I remember the songwriter would say, I'm like a ship without a sail, if I'm not connected to the spirit. You can come in here and play church if you want to, but you need to get connected to the spirit. You need to take some time with the spirit of the Lord. The Bible says the outer man wasteth away, but the inner man is renewed day by day. In John 4, I believe it's 1 John 4, it says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So we have to connect with the spirit. But even Jesus himself, the Messiah, who came in a manger, who was born of a virgin, when he graduated into his calling, he still needed the spirit. Think about that. He was God in the flesh, but he still needed the spirit. And if Jesus needs the spirit, baby, you're going to need the spirit. I know you think you Jesus Jr. and you think that you can control everything and everything you say is going hot just because you said it, but you need the spirit of the Lord. Because just like you can connect to the spirit of the Lord, you can connect to the spirit of cussing. You can. I've been connected to all kinds of spirits that was not right. And when I need some help, I say, God, get that junk out of me and give me your spirit. Fill me up, Lord. Here's my cup, Lord. Fill me up and make me whole. Now, we don't do it now, but in the old church, they would bring you down to the altar and they would call it tearing for the Holy Ghost. They would say, stay here till you get something that you didn't have. I know we like to leave here before 1 o'clock because we got the roast in the oven, but sometimes you got to stay before the Lord till you get something that you didn't have when you came here. God, I need your spirit. All right. So having said that, let's look and elevate it in Isaiah 11:2. Read it.
And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him.
All right, now we're going to change the colors because I want to give you colors that kind of stick with your mind because it's one verse, but we want to split it up. Matthew 3:16 from the New Living Translation says it this way.
After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him.
It just sat on him. Now, we talked about this in Can You Stand the Rain Part 2. And this is one of the last things we talked about, how the heaven opened and the power of God rested upon him like a dove. And that's what we want. We want the Spirit of God to rest on us. And I shared this then and I'll share it again. We talked about how before this church was built and we were just had concrete in here and we just had just hung the fans, two doves somehow caught in the building and they lighted up there and they stayed on those two fans for a while until they left. And what God was letting us know, that the Spirit of God was going to rest on this church. That even when people don't show up and even when the chairs are empty, there's going to be a presence of God in this place. And even when the lights are off and even when the doors are locked, if you just walk around the building, there's still going to be a presence, because God wanted to let us know he was settling on us. And if Jesus needs the Spirit to settle on us, we need the Spirit to settle on us too. Excuse me. If Jesus needs the Spirit to settle on him, we need the Spirit to settle on us. Let's look at Acts 1 and 8.
But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you.
Hold on. After that, the Holy Ghost is going to come on you. You're going to get some power. Now, we just said Jesus had the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove. And this is when Jesus told the disciples that you're going to get power after the Holy Ghost comes on you. Now, if we look at it that way, it would make us assume that Jesus didn't get any power until the Spirit descended on him like a dove. It's not true. Jesus had power, but he had internal power. And all of us have internal power, but you get in a season of your life where God doesn't want you to have internal power for you. He wants you to have excess power for somebody else. Amen. And so when the Spirit comes on you, it's not for you. The Spirit comes on you for somebody else.
Yes.
Let me put it to you this way. The Spirit within you is for strength. The Spirit upon you is for works.
Yes.
God gives you the Spirit to help you get through the day, but God puts the Spirit on you so you can do something for somebody else. That's why today the praise team, as they were singing, they felt the Spirit of God come on them so that they can communicate the praises of God to us. So that if we came in here with downtrodden head, the Spirit that was on them would flow through them and pick our heads up. And so he told the disciples, you're going to get some power when the Holy Ghost comes on you. Let me say it. Read that part again.
But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you.
Come upon you. When you, Sister Mitchell, let me just ask you this question. I'm going to put you on the spot. When you look at upon, what two words do you see?
At upon.
When you look at upon, the word upon.
Oh, up.
And what else?
On.
You see, maybe she sees something different. Let me ask Mother Rankin. Let me ask you the same question. When you see the word upon, what two words do you see?
Up and on.
Up and on. Okay. She sees the same thing. Let me ask Lady Devin. Lady Devin, when you see the word upon, what two words do you see? All right. Everybody see the same thing. So what he was saying, when the Spirit of God comes, it comes up and on. If you don't have the Spirit in you, it can't come up and on you. Let me say this again. If you do have the Spirit of cussing, if you get in the right situation, that Spirit will come up and on. I don't know. I know y'all been saved all your life and you ain't never had that situation where something comes up and on. And you find words that you ain't found. You can put them together in the right way. You can tell somebody clean off because that Spirit came up and it got on you. But if you have the Spirit of God in you, like Jesus did, when the heavens opened, it came up and on. And so he promised them, you're going to receive power. And the only reason why you could receive power, because the power has to be in you. And when you said yes to God, he put his power in you. But when it's time for works, when it's time for miracles, when it's time to make something happen, when it's time to pray hell till it shuts down, the Spirit comes up and on. I need you to get into a place where you get the upon spirit, when it doesn't just stay in you, but it comes up and on you, and it saturates you, and it touches your life. And then this is what it says. Read the rest of it.
And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth.
And this is so true, because several thousand years later, we are still talking about this word of God. Because once the disciples, and we have to remember, the disciples were jacked up. Most every one of them left Jesus at the cross, except for Peter and John. And Peter only stayed somewhat close, and then he denied him. John was the only one left. But when the power of God came on, they revolutionized the world. And the reason why we're preaching now is because the power of God got on them. They were so full of the power of God, many of them decided to choose to die instead of giving up on their Savior. Peter said, crucify me upside down, because I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Savior. James had his head cut off. They went through it because they believed, because the power of God came up and on. And then became witnesses. And if you can't witness for your God, you don't have no power. If you can't tell somebody what God has done, if you can't get up and testify in front of the church, if you're not happy about the things of God, it has not come up and on you yet. And if it hasn't come up and on you, the Spirit hasn't rested on you yet. So let's start number one, the Spirit of the Lord. Let's go to number two. Then it's the Spirit of wisdom. Not just power. It's one thing to have power, but what's power without wisdom? Let's go to Isaiah 11:2 again.
The Spirit of wisdom.
All right, Proverbs 4:5, read that.
Get wisdom, get insight, do not forget, and do not turn away from the words of my mouth.
This is so beautiful. The Bible tells us to get wisdom, acquire wisdom, go after wisdom, because wisdom is insight. Do not forget it. But the scripture also says when the Spirit of God comes on you, it brings wisdom. Have you ever been in a situation where you just need the wisdom of God? If I can just tap into the wisdom of God, I can't figure this out. I can't make this work. But when the Spirit of God came on you, it brought wisdom with it. Let's look at the next verse, Proverbs 4:6.
Do not forsake her, and she will keep you. Love her, and she will guard you.
Don't forsake wisdom, but pay attention to it. Love it, and it will guard you. That wisdom will keep you out of a lot of stuff. Wisdom will keep you from some relationships. Wisdom will make you walk away from the bank when you're going to sign the loan and you know you don't have the money to do it, but you want to keep up with the Joneses. Wisdom will make you say, no, I'm not ready. Wisdom will keep you from a world of trouble. So love it. But here's the thing. When the Spirit of God comes on you, it brings wisdom. I thank God I need wisdom. I thank God I need wisdom. If I am to be elected to a position or appointed to a position, I need the wisdom of God. I love the way we have our democracy set up. But we can see when people get in office that don't have wisdom, it takes the nation through a bunch of unnecessary stuff because you don't have wisdom. Don't lead me if you don't have wisdom. Don't marry me if you don't have wisdom. Don't go into business with me if you don't have wisdom. I really don't need you praying for me if you don't have wisdom. What do you mean, Pastor? You don't need people praying for you that don't have wisdom. What if you're praying for me, but you don't really care for my wife? And so you're praying for me to have another wife. I'm praying that God will remove Lady Devon and bring somebody. I don't need somebody with backwards wisdom praying over my life. I need somebody with wisdom. Don't form your mouth to pray for me if you don't have wisdom, because if it's not wisdom, it's witchcraft. I don't want your witchcraft prayers over my life. I need somebody with some wisdom. You need a pastor with wisdom. You need leaders with wisdom. You need appointed people with wisdom. You need bosses with wisdom. Some of y'all know your job would be in a much better position if they would just hire somebody with some wisdom. You ever brought something to your boss's attention and they just won't listen because you're beneath them, they think, and you're trying to tell them what would help them, but they don't have a wisdom because what prideful people believe, if you don't make as much money as me, I don't have to listen to you. But if you listen to me, we all can make better money. I need somebody with wisdom. Amen. Let's go to a couple more verses. Let's go to verse 11 of Proverbs 8.
For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her.
Diamonds and rubies and sapphire and onyx. It said it's not to be compared to wisdom. If you don't have a diamond around your neck and you have a wisdom, the Bible says you're better off because wisdom is better than jewels. Wisdom can produce the jewels. Wisdom can keep you ahead in life. You need the wisdom of God. And the Bible says that when the Spirit of the Lord rests on you, it brings wisdom. Proverbs 4:7, read that.
Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding.
Beautiful. It says wisdom is the principal thing. It's the starting thing. It's the top priority thing that you should be after. Then it says, in all thy getting, get understanding. So the Spirit of the Lord, it brings the Spirit itself, but it also brings the Spirit of wisdom. But this scripture says, with all thy wisdom, get an understanding. Or with all thy getting, get an understanding. Which I hadn't always understood, because once I get wisdom, why do I need understanding? Let me explain this to you. Wisdom and understanding are alike, but they're different. I have the wisdom to know that I need to put oil in my car. I have the wisdom to know I need to change my oil, but I don't understand how the oil works for my engine. So if I get to the dealer and they say, what kind of oil do you want? I don't know. I have the wisdom that it needs oil, but I don't understand what's going to be best for my car. So I have to get not just wisdom, I need to get an understanding. I have the wisdom to know to go to the doctor. But when the doctor prescribes something that may hurt me because he's practicing medicine, I need to understand and know, even though you said I should take it, it's not going to work for my body. I may not understand everything, but I know me and this don't mix. Me and penicillin don't mix. I'm not taking that because it's not going to work for me. I have the wisdom to go to you, but I have the understanding too. So if the Spirit of the Lord brings wisdom and doesn't bring understanding, I'm stuck. But let's look at number three. It also brings a spirit of understanding. Isaiah 11:2 again. Say, read that.
The spirit of wisdom and understanding.
It brings it as a package deal. Not only do you get the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit, you get wisdom and you get understanding when it rests upon you. Let's look at Psalms 119 and 130.
The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple.
This is so beautiful. It says when God's word comes, it brings light. But it brings understanding to the simple, which that means to us who just don't know. Have you ever read the Bible and you just don't know? You just don't understand. You're reading it, but you don't understand. But what God says is when his word enters, it brings understanding. And sometimes you don't know you have understanding until you need it. When somebody comes to you with a problem and they come to you with an issue and you go to open your mouth and give advice, some stuff comes out of you that you didn't even know was in you. You give some of the best advice, and sometimes you ask yourself, I wish I could take the advice I give to others, because I give people good advice. I wish I could apply that to myself. It's because the word of God brought understanding. And you didn't even know it brought understanding. You thought you was just coming to church because you know the pastor likes it when you come to church. But while you're sitting here and you're hearing the word of God, it brings light, but it deposits understanding. You got understanding down in you for problems you haven't even faced yet. And when the problem shows up, you already know what to do. And you don't even know how you know what to do. It's just there. Have you ever been cooking and the recipe calls for something you do not have?
and you don't have time to go to the store. But somehow in understanding, you know, I can take a pinch of this and a pinch of that. And even though I don't have vanilla extract, I can make it taste like I have vanilla extract. And I don't know how I know it, but there's understanding. You ever got a deal that you shouldn't have got a deal? You ever been somewhere right when they was marking it down, you showed up. Even though you didn't know it, you had an understanding to go right at the right time, because the word of God, it brings light and understanding. There's stuff you know that you have no clue that you know. There's stuff that you have no clue that you have. But when you said yes to the Spirit, you got wisdom and you got understanding.
Amen.
Proverbs 2 and 6, read that.
For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding.
He gives wisdom. The scripture says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and he gives it to all men without upbraiding them or making them feel bad. But out of his mouth comes both knowledge and understanding. Every time you hear from the mouth of God, that's why it's important to talk to God. That's why it's important to read your word. Because every time something comes from his mouth, even if it's something that you've already heard, it gives you knowledge and understanding. Now somebody say this, say, I have the Spirit. Since I have the Spirit, let's get a little ghetto. I got wisdom and I got understanding. Amen. All right, we're going to number four. Number four is the Spirit of counsel. Isaiah 11 and 2. Remember, all of these are coming out of the same verse, Isaiah 11 and 2.
The Spirit of counsel and might.
All right, so those are our next two. Proverbs 19 and 20 says what?
Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end.
I like this, because there's nothing like an old fool. We need wisdom in our latter end. It's one thing to have a young fool. It's one thing to have a young dummy. But when you old and dumb, when you old and foolish, I understand when you're 17 and you're doing stupid stuff, but if you're 75 and you're still stupid, we need wisdom in our latter end. But the scripture says in order to get to that place, you have to learn how to hear counsel. But when the Spirit of God comes, it brings the Spirit of counsel. God, the Spirit of God tells you, no, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't post that on Facebook. Some people who are posting stuff on Facebook, they're young and dumb. But when you're old and dumb, and you posting pictures of yourself that are unflattering, talking about I'm working on my summer body, baby, take that off of the internet. It's one thing to be young and dumb. Old and dumb is hard to deal with. You ought to know better by now. And I know y'all laughing because we've all seen some old dummies. And sometimes you just shake your head and say, oh my goodness. Have you ever seen somebody that looks like life just passed them by? They've lived 20 more years, but they're still stuck in the same place you saw them 20 years earlier. Because they don't have the spirit of wisdom and understanding and counsel. Now I thank God for the counsel of God. I thank God, even when I didn't want to hear it, I thank God that God would say, no, shut up. Sometimes the most anointed thing you can hear is shut up. Hold your tongue. Keep your peace. Watch your mouth. Don't go here. Don't go there. That's the spirit of counsel. I've been mad enough to go off and fly off up the handle when I found out somebody was lying on me and talking about me. And I wanted to handle it myself. And the Bible, not the Bible, but God would just tell me, just hold your peace. Well, I don't want to hold my peace. Just hold your peace. But as I've held my peace, I find out how God will work it out. Here's the thing. Can't nobody be a lawyer like God. If you try to get in there, you'll mess it up. Even in today's judicial system, if you get in trouble, they want you to have a lawyer. You can try to fight for yourself, but they don't want to listen to you. You need a lawyer. You need a counselor. And the Bible calls the Holy Spirit the mighty counselor. You need somebody to stand on your behalf. You need somebody to fight for you. You need somebody to stand up for you. You need the spirit of counsel. But you didn't know when you got God's spirit, you got his wisdom, you got his understanding, And you got his counsel. And it keeps you wise even in your latter end. Mother Rankin, the reason why you're older and still wise, because you got God's counsel. Oh, hallelujah. And I'm getting older every day, but I want God's counsel on my life. I want to be like wine. The older I get, the better I am. I want to be better each day, each age, because I have God's spirit in my life. Oh, somebody said, I wouldn't serve a God I couldn't feel sometime. I wouldn't serve a God if I couldn't feel his spirit and his presence. But every time his spirit comes, he brings gifts with him. He brings stuff to put down in you. He brings you so you're never less after you get a hold of him. That's why Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Because whenever you do God's will, you never are the less. All right, verse 21.
There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand.
Proverbs says it nice and sweet. One verse says, the heart is deceitfully wicked. And here's the thing. I don't care how saved you are, your heart can devise some nasty stuff. Let somebody cross you wrong, your heart can devise some nasty stuff. You might be saved and sanctified, but the heart is deceitfully wicked. And even though there's things in your heart that sometimes aren't right, the counsel of the Lord will stand. The counsel of the Lord to get you out of stuff that you shouldn't be in. The counsel of the Lord will bring you back around. Thank God for the counsel of the Lord, because if I was left up to my nasty heart, in other words, if Jesus didn't enter into my heart and rearrange things in my heart, thank God when I said yes to him that he came in and he had a makeover and he pimped my ride. He turned it all the way around and fixed it up, because without him, there's some stuff in my heart. The reason why God showed us the heroes of old, he wants to see that he used them, but they had some stuff in their heart. David, the Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. But one day David didn't go to battle. He was standing on the terrace and looked and saw a woman bathing named Bathsheba. And he said, bring her here now. And did what he did with her. And then she said, I'm pregnant. And David said, well, bring Uriah off the battlefield. And let's get him drunk and send him home to lay with his wife. That way it looks like the baby is his and not mine. But Uriah said, I don't want to go because I'm supposed to be on the battlefield. David tried it again. And finally he said, Josiah, send Uriah on the front lines and everybody back away so he can't help but die. So David, great David, Goliath killing David, psalm writing David, harp playing David. When push came to shove, his heart showed up. But the counsel of God, see, David didn't have the Holy Spirit the way we had it. He had the Holy Spirit as a king, but we have the Holy Spirit as our fellowship and as our counselor. And when you're getting ready to do some evil stuff, the Spirit of God can step in and hold you and watch you and push you and say, don't you dare do it. Sometimes you need the presence of God just to sit on you and hold you down and don't let me do what's in my heart. Because at the end of the day, my heart is still wicked. I'm saved, but my heart is still wicked. If it's not for your spirit, Lord. And we all need to thank God, because we got some Davids in us. We got some Noahs in us. We got some stuff in us. If we are loud with our own devices, we got some stuff in us. How do I know that? Just look at the news. Just look at a young man that says, since I'm bullied, I'm killing everybody in the school, because the hearts are messed up. The hearts are mixed up. But the Bible says the counsel of the Lord will stand. Thank God I've got his spirit to arrest my heart when my heart goes wrong. And then I do like what David said. David did repent. But one time he said, search me, O God. And know my thoughts. Try me and know my heart. Or vice versa. He says, see if there be any wicked way in me. And then lead me in the way everlasting. When you leave here, you can fake the pastor. You can fake the person in the pew. But when you go home, sometimes you got to say, God, create in me a clean heart. And renew a right spirit in me. The counsel of the Lord can put something new in you. If you got jealousy and bitter and envy in your heart, the counsel of the Lord can take out the stony heart and put in the heart of God. Thank God for the Spirit of God that brings wisdom and understanding, but also the counsel of the Lord.
All right, let's move on to the spirit of might.
Somebody say the spirit of might. Isaiah 11 and 2, read that.
The spirit of counsel and might.
Now, so not only does he bring counsel, but he brings might. Psalms 24:7 says it this way.
Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in.
Lift up your heads. In other words, praise God, and then the King of glory shall come in. It tells us more about it in verse 8.
Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle.
I like it. Makes sure to let you know that he is the King of glory. But let me let you know some of his qualifications. He's the Lord strong and mighty. And he specializes in battle. He's mighty in battle. And I know we don't like battle, but sometimes God can only show who he is if you get in a battle. And when you get in a battle, that's when you find out you've got the spirit, not just counsel, you got the spirit of might. Every now and then you need a righteous indignation to rise up in you to show you how strong you are, where you look the devil in his face and say, I dare you to come on my lawn again. I dare you to mess with me again. I dare you to put another loved one in the hospital, because you realize I've got the spirit of might. I've got God's mighty working power inside of me. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, it dwells in me. He's strong. He's awesome. He's victorious, and he's mighty. Sometimes we sing the song, Lord, you're mighty. Lord, you're mighty. Lord, you're mighty. You've got strength. Let me just put it in today's vernacular. He's not a punk. He's not a wimp. He's not scared of nothing and no one. There's nothing that makes him tremble. Demons don't make him tremble. Cancer doesn't make him tremble. Diabetes doesn't make him tremble. Debt doesn't make him tremble. Failure doesn't make him tremble. He's God all by himself. The universe answers to him. The stars answer to him. The suns and the moon answer to him. The grass answers to him. The grasshopper answers to him. The lion answers to him. The elephant answers to him. He's strong. He's mighty. And when you get his spirit, you get his might. So time out for every single trial holding your head down. Sometimes trials will bring your head down. Sometimes trial will bring you to tears. Sometimes trials, but you got to wake up sometime. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the joy comes, the might comes. And when the might comes, the power comes. And when the power comes, the victory comes. And when the victory comes, you can say, this is the Lord's doing. And it's mighty and it's marvelous in our eyes. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. You got to understand, he's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. He's a mighty God. And when I get his spirit, I get his wisdom. I get his understanding. I get his counsel. But sometimes the wisdom won't do it. Sometimes the understanding won't do it. Sometimes the counsel won't do it. I need his might. I need him to show up and fight for me. I need him to show up and battle for me. I need him to show up and war for me. This means war. I need your might, God. I can't do this by myself. I can't break this addiction by myself. I can't change this by myself. I need your might, God. And I'm glad to know when he brought his spirit, he gave me his might. So start pleading the blood. Start declaring things like you lost your mind. Start calling stuff in, because he's mighty, mighty, mighty. He's a mighty warrior. He's a battler. He's a deliverer. Call on his name. Oh, I feel like preaching up in here. He's a mighty God. And every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that the Lord of glory. When the demons put him on that cross, they thought they had him. But they didn't know. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to me. And that God is fighting for your behalf. That God stands for you, Melvin. He stands for you, Juanita. He's on your side. He's on your team. He's a mighty God. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Prince of Peace. And I thank God he's on my side. And he knows me by name. He knows the numbers of hairs on my head. That may not be a lot for me, but for all the weave you got on your head, he knows it all. He knows it all. He's a mighty God. Somebody say he's a mighty God. Oh, mighty, mighty, mighty. Psalms 112 and 1. Read that.
Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments.
Verse 2.
His seed shall be mighty upon earth.
Hold on. It says he's mighty. But it says his seed shall be mighty. I am the seed of Abraham.
Yes.
I'm the seed of God. I am an heir and a joint heir with Christ. Not only is he mighty, I'm mighty. Not only is he victorious, I'm victorious. Not only is he strong, I'm strong. I know it looks like I'm weak, but let the weak say I'm strong. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. You don't have a choice. You can't wiggle your way out of it. You shall be blessed because you hooked up with the mighty God. Now, we chose the color red for a reason, because your might comes through his blood. It's the blood of the Lamb that makes us mighty. But I thank God for this spirit, this sevenfold spirit, this spirit of the Lord, this spirit of wisdom, this spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, now the spirit of might. All found in that one verse. Let's look at number 6. The spirit of knowledge. 11:2. Read it again.
The spirit of knowledge.
Proverbs 24 and 5.
A wise man is strong. Yea, a man of knowledge increases strength.
Ah, yes. So even though he's mighty, sometimes we need to increase strength. Because even though he's mighty in battle and you are mighty, sometimes the fight weakens your strength. Muhammad Ali was a bad boy, but sometimes they raised his hands, but he was weak in his body. Because some fights will strip the strength from your life. I came out victorious, but I can barely move. I came through, but my mind is tired. Sometimes you say, God, I don't want another battle this year. I don't want another test this year. Thank God you brought me out, but I'm tired of the test. I done got a little weary in well-doing. The Bible says that a wise man is strong, yes, but a man of knowledge increases strength. See, here's the thing. You learn how to sometimes not just fight longer, but fight smarter. You learn how to fight in different ways when you have more knowledge. When you begin to have the knowledge of God, it increases your strength. And so you end up becoming renewed. And so even though you've gone through a battle and you became victorious, you can't give up on your knowledge. Amen. See, this is what happens. A lot of people say, I got blessed. I got a job. Then they give all their time to the job and don't spend no time with the knowledge of God. And then the very blessing God gave you becomes a curse. So no, even when I get a blessing, I say, I need your knowledge. I need to know what you're talking about. Every time I get done preaching, I tell God, back to the drawing board. I don't care how good the last service was. I need new knowledge for the next service. I don't want to just drain down and have nothing. I need knowledge to increase me more and more. Proverbs 1 and 7 says this.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction.
The fear of the Lord starts off your knowledge. So this spirit of wisdom, it brings all these things that we're talking about. It parks us in a place of knowledge. You should be ever learning. You should be like a sponge soaking up knowledge. And not just the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is the number one thing you want. But you need to know other stuff. You need to expand your mind. Get off of TV for a minute and learn something. Ingest something. There's so much knowledge passing us by. And oftentimes the reason why we fail, and here's what Hosea says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's knowledge passing us by. It's knowledge that helps you with your debt. It's knowledge that fixes your credit score. But you don't know it. So you just keep praying to God, fix everything. God says, get you some knowledge. Go to the library. Ask somebody. And what it'll do, it'll help you. It'll position you. But then the scripture says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So now I got one other problem. Now the Spirit of God brings me all these things, but it brings me knowledge. But the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So if the Spirit doesn't bring me the fear of the Lord, then the knowledge I get is not going to do me any good. Because there's a lot of people who have knowledge, but they don't respect God. And so their knowledge does them no good. So even though the Spirit has brought all these things, if the Spirit of God brings me knowledge and leaves me there, I'm in trouble. But look what the last one says. The spirit of the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 11 and 2. Read that.
The spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord.
The Spirit knows everything you need. He wouldn't bring you knowledge without bringing you the fear of the Lord. In other words, it's a buy one, get one free. We all love a buy one, get one sale. Now, some places, it's buy one, get one 50 off. I don't want that. I want buy one, get one free. When I get one, I want two to come. And what God says, my spirit is like a buy one, get seven. Once you get the Spirit of God, you get me, you get my wisdom, you get my understanding, you get my counsel, you get my might, you get my knowledge, and you get the fear of the Lord. Because at the end of the day, without the fear of the Lord, it all means nothing. And with the fear of the Lord, it's not being scared of God. It's the reverential respect of the Lord that makes everything tick. It's the thing that, in other words, at the end of the day, what we're doing it because one day we want to see his face. I respect him. I reverence him. And I know I reverence him by the way I reverence other people. How can I love a God I don't see and hate my brother that I do see? If I reverence God, I will love my brother. If I reverence God, I will be the type of person that is good in front of the camera, behind the camera. In front of the church, I'm one way, and outside of the church, I'm the same way. I'm not saying you won't have troubles and you won't have private struggles, but at the end of the day, if you're praising God in here, you should be praising God out there. If you say you love people in here, you should be loving people out there. Not to please me, not to please the people, but you fear the Lord. I respect the Lord. He's too good for me to play church. He's too mighty for me to play church. He's brought me too many things for me to play church. God, you can have it all. Oh, I love the song that we used to sing that say, you deserve it. I love the song that says, I give myself away because I fear and respect the Lord. Oh, I reverence him. I reverence him so much. Anything he asks for me financially, he can have it. I don't want to battle with you, God, when you gave me the money anyway and you tell me to bless somebody with. I don't want to battle with you and say, no, I don't want to do it. I want God, whatever you ask for, I want you to have it, God. I want you, because I fear you. I respect you. I reverence you. I love today's church. I love even millennials. I love the young people, but we need to fear the Lord back in the house of God. We need it to be where people respect God. I don't mind you chewing gum, but sometimes the spirit should be too strong for you just be willy-nilly chewing gum in the sanctuary. It ought to be such a presence of God that you have such an honor for God that you don't want to do anything that takes away from the presence of God. I want to look right. I want to be dressed right. I want to smell right. I want to act right because I reverence your presence, God. Don't want the presence to come and have to leave because we grieved it. I want the presence to be welcome here.
That's why every time I welcome visitors, I welcome the presence of the Holy Ghost. Because what I understand, if he doesn't open my mouth, I can't even talk. If he doesn't stay in my brain, I can't even think. I can't move without him. I respect you, God. I reverence you, God. And I give myself to you, God. And you get the glory, God. To God be the glory for the great things that he has done. You get the glory. Take all of me. I want you to be seen in my life. You get the glory, Lord. It's for your glory, Lord. That's why I sing praises, for your glory, Lord. Let's get back to where we respect him. We reverence him. Now, he's so good and he's so kind. He likes us how we are. And we can talk to him any way we want to. We can say, hey, God, I need you. He doesn't mind that. But don't get so comfortable that you don't respect him. Don't get so comfortable that you think, as long as I'm away from the church people, I can do anything I want to. Even when you're failing, you got to say, God, I'm sorry for failing. When I was looking at pornography, I said, God, help me to do better. I know it's wrong. Don't ever take wrong and act like it's right. Still respect God and say, even though I'm failing, I want to do better. Even though I'm doing wrong, I believe your word is right. And God, deliver me. God, help me. God, touch me. God, don't let me die in my sins. Don't let me die like this, God. God, I need you. Respect him. Reverence him. Fear the Lord makes everything work. We'll close from here. Let's read Psalms 115 and 13.
He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great.
Here's the thing. Here's a key. He will bless them that fear the Lord, small and great. You don't have to sit in a White House to be blessed by God. You don't have to be in the top of the Eiffel Tower to be blessed by God. You don't have to travel and see all the seven wonders of the world. He said, both small and great. There's only one thing I require. Fear the Lord and I'll bless you. Some of y'all are more blessed than folk that got millions of dollars because you got peace that they don't have. You got joy that they don't have. And just last week, we seen two people that are operating in millions both commit suicide because they don't have the fear of the Lord. And I wish we could reach those people to let them know your money won't save you. Your money won't break depression. You need the fear of the Lord. Yes, I've had suicidal thoughts, but I reverence God too much to take my life. And I'm not judging anybody that's taking their life, but I reverence God because I fear him. All right, let's go to 112 and 1. No, excuse me, let's go to 115 and 14.
The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children.
He said, if you fear the Lord, he'll bless you, and then he'll increase you more. Not just you, you and your children. And your children's children. Because you fear the Lord. There's some things that your kids and your grandkids have gotten just because you fear the Lord. They think they're getting good grades because they're smart. But the only reason why they're smart is because you fear the Lord. And you've prayed over their life. And you're the reason why the whole family is blessed. Psalms 112 and 1. We're going to go back to this. We've seen this earlier, and we're going to read it some more.
Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments.
Delighteth greatly in his commandments. Verse 2.
His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed.
So we brought this up when we were talking about might. But what I wanted to point out to you, that the very first verse, so let's go back up to 112 and 1. The very first verse says, it starts off, praise ye the Lord, blesses the man that feareth the Lord. So it's the fear of the Lord that gets the blessings going. But when the Spirit of God came, the last thing it gives us is the very thing we need to keep us blessed. So when you go to verse 2, it says his seed shall be mighty. But look at what verse 3 says.
Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever.
Somebody say this, say wealth and riches belong in my house, and I won't have to lose my righteousness. The spirit of mammon, when some people get money, they get unrighteous the moment they get money. But the Bible says when you fear the Lord, wealth and riches will be in your house and your righteousness will endure. You'll be blessed and you'll still come to church. You'll be blessed and you'll still love God. You'll be blessed and you'll still praise God because you fear the Lord. But the spirit of the Lord brought you wisdom. It brought you understanding.
It brought you counsel and might and knowledge, and it brought you the fear of the Lord. And all you did was say yes to God. Let's read Isaiah 11, 2 and close this way.
And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him.
Now, let's do this over. Every time she comes to an end of a clause, I'll say, I'll give you the number, and then you say, I got it. Read it.
And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him.
Number one.
I got it. The Spirit of wisdom.
Number two.
I got it. And understanding.
Number three.
I got it. The Spirit of counsel.
Number four.
I got it. And might.
Number five.
I got it. The Spirit of knowledge.
Number six.
I got it. And of the fear of the Lord.
Number seven.
I got it.
Amen. When you said yes to the Spirit, you got all those things. Now declare, I got it. I receive it. I take it. And I walk in it. In Jesus' name. The seven-souled Spirit. Let's stand to our feet. Amen. Father God, I thank you and praise you for the Spirit of God. And the full manifestations. We thank you for the fruit of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit. But we thank you for this prophetic thing that the Spirit brings all those things. And if we can get the Spirit of God to not just be in us, but to be up on us, it'll revolutionize our life. Now, God, if we begin to walk in this way and we begin to operate in this way and collectively as a body of believers, we begin to operate in the Spirit of the Lord. Once again, we will move in a frequency, in a sound, in an abundance, and an open heaven over this church. That the Spirit of God, we will be known not just for our love, but we'll be known as a place where the Spirit of God rests. And God, we thank you and we praise you. God, we pray for our city. We pray for our nation. We pray for our leaders. We pray over our schools. We plead the blood of Jesus. We pray over the epidemics in our, the drug epidemics. We pray over our economy, God. But we know we can't do it all, but your Spirit makes a difference. And Deliverance Temple, you've raised us up for this last and evil day, that the Spirit of the Lord would rest on us and bring the sevenfold anointing that will revolutionize our city and our lives. And God, we thank you for revival in Jesus' name. And let everybody say, amen. And amen.